everybody. This is Sasha Stone with awardsdaily.com. I'm actually back from the Telluride Film Festival right now, but I thought I would give for you a podcast of some of the recordings that I collected while I was there. A lot of times I would just turn on the tape recorder and record the ambient sounds of standing in line or riding in the gondola. And a few times I would catch interviews with people. Mostly I spoke with Mark Johnson, who was rooming with me. He is writes for the Awards Circuit blog and does Oscar predictions over there. And then occasionally it will be Michael Patterson, Michael's TellurideFilm.blogspot.com. And then, of course, everybody's favorite, Jeff Wells. He is HollywoodElsewhere.com. I spoke with him riding in the gondola and riding the shuttle from the town of Telluride up to the patrons' brunch. Every Friday morning before the festival starts, they have a patrons' brunch. It starts at about 11. No, it starts at about 10, and it goes to 1 or 2, and all the movie stars who are going to be at the festival show up there. So this time they had Nicole Kidman was there with Keith Urban. I saw Peter Bogdanovich. Joel Edgerton was there. Jason Reitman was there. They all have movies at the festival. So after the patrons' brunch, everybody goes to see what they call the secret screening, and that was The Old Man and the Gun, starring Robert Redford. So we went to see that. Robert Redford was slightly delayed, and he finally showed up there, and he did the Q&A after. Hi, this is Sasha Stone with awardsdaily.com. I'm here at the Telluride Film Festival. We're just standing in line, and I'm here with Mark Johnson, who, how many years have you been coming to the festival?
This is my fourth now, so getting to be a wily veteran of the fest. Not quite your level, but I'm getting there.
Getting there, and we just saw The Old Man and the Gun, Robert Redford's last movie, they're saying it is, right?
Right.
And Robert Redford was there. He didn't get there immediately. We had to wait for him to arrive for the Q&A. The movie was short,
yeah,
at an hour and a half.
Minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
Which automatically gets an extra star in my book.
Yeah. So what did you, I know you're a really big Robert Redford fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a nice tribute to the man. It was charming. You know, it's not going to be an awards player, I don't think, but it's, you know, the chemistry between Spacek and Redford was really palpable, and I enjoyed that a lot. And I think if you go into it with that kind of expectation, you'll enjoy it too.
Mm. Yeah, I noticed that there were kind of mixed feelings about it coming out. You know, I think people were sort of confused by it because David Lowery is kind of like a director who does sort of opaque, dark movies, and this is not that. It's breezy and funny, and
yep. It's not a highbrow film. It's not one to overthink. It's just one, I think, to enjoy, at least for seeing Robert Redford one last time on the screen.
So what's your favorite Robert Redford movie?
Favorite? Oh my gosh. So my sentimental favorite is The Natural. I'm a huge fan of that movie. The score, Redford, Basinger, everybody in it. But my one that I watch probably the most is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah. And what about The Sting?
The Sting is right there. It's my number two, probably, after Butch. But there's a lot of good ones. All the President's Men, 3 Days of the Condor, Brubaker. There's, you know, Jeremiah Johnson, I think, is another one. He's got a long list. He's had a long career.
Yeah, he really has. He's amazing when you think about it. That's what this movie... Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Appreciate it. Good.
I really love the part where Casey Affleck did the little nod to the sting.
Yeah, the finger to the side of the nose. I'm surprised not too many people caught that. Like, that was very
surprising.
Yeah, it was subtle, but it was.
Why didn't they get it? I don't know.
Maybe less familiar. Yeah.
I know, but how do you not know that?
Yeah,
that's such a big deal movie.
Right.
But that, to me, was sort of the signal to the audience that what the movie was supposed to really be.
Yep. There were two moments, I think. That one, and then in the flashbacks, when they show his character escapes from jail 17 times, and they kind of give you a montage of all the escapes. And in one of the montages, instead of the back of the head of a double, they show Redford from the 1966 movie The Chase, directed by Arthur Penn. And I think that was the second nod to, that this is a film for Robert.
Absolutely, and for his fans, because as I was thinking about it, you know, that part where you see his old photos, and they're all old photos of beautiful old Robert Redford that we all know and love so well. And in a way, it was like he was saying goodbye to that, you know, because he's not really that. I mean, you know, yes, he is an on-screen presence that, you know, we've all known and loved, but he's also like a guy who's an environmentalist. He runs he started the Sundance Film Festival. He's a director, you know, Oscar winner,
Ordinary People.
Yeah, but that's, you know, he does have Robert Redford, you know, the image, the matinee idol, and it felt like that kind of collection of old Robert Redford photos was really showing. I didn't write this in my review, I forgot, but it was really showing the reverence that the director had.
Push forward. What are you guys just standing there? Push forward.
And this is Michael Patterson just rudely interrupted our interview, as he always does.
Come on in.
I'm just kidding. No, come.
I had no idea. I'm going to back out now.
I've been wanting to interview you. We were just talking about the old man and the gun. What did you think of it? We didn't even get a chance to talk to you.
I think it's a pleasant movie. There I am. That's what I am.
So we were just saying how we thought that it was sort of like a nod to Robert Redford's image and the old Robert Redford, you know, because like they had the mug shots of him and it was him
as
a young actor.
That sort of nostalgic, I remember that. I remember seeing that photo takes me back.
Yeah.
But at the same time, kind of doesn't it sort of take you out of the movie?
I think, but maybe that's the point. Maybe it's saying goodbye to him, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's my theory.
I don't disagree.
My theory is it's a goodbye letter to him, for him to say goodbye to his screen presence and for us to say goodbye to him as Robert Redford's screen idol. You know, this is a going out smiling kind of wave goodbye to his fans.
It's not that I didn't. I enjoyed it. I just wanted to love it.
Yeah.
I almost enjoyed the Q&A after.
For sure.
Yeah.
More than the film.
Yeah. And the thing is David Lowery might not have been the right director
to do this.
He wanted, you know.
Well, Redford's the one who sought him out for it.
Right, so. I know.
Right, because of their work together, yeah.
But that's odd, though.
Must have liked his style.
All right, that's our interview for now, and we're going to go to the theater, so bye, everybody.
And next we have a gondola ride up to the Chuck Jones Theater with Jeffrey Wells, Michael Patterson, Mark Johnson, and myself.
Yeah, I liked him too. I liked her a lot too. I thought she was.
I was
shocked. She's out there in the way that you that the movie.
And she's
needs,
got the stuff. Yeah, she's got the lines to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I thought he was great too. I thought Jason Clarke, you know, what I think is probably a hard role to do, was pretty damn good too.
I was surprised that people said it was underwhelming and not emotional. I cried through that whole movie.
What are we talking? Still talking about First Man?
Oh, well, what were we talking about?
No, I just want to make sure before I said something. I wanted to say, make sure I knew the context before I said something. No, people louder, louder. I'm talking about Front Runner. I'm completely wrong. Let me backtrack. So, yes, Sasha, the answer to your question is yes.
Yeah, it was, right?
I do. I was completely involved in it.
Me too, 100%. And there were parts in the movie. Did you see it?
I didn't get to.
Are we talking about Front Runner now or First Man?
It's not the same.
But so are you on your way
we're
up
not
to
talking.
See Roma?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what we're going to see. Yeah. Are you going to see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. With the tribute.
I'm going to see that.
Yeah. It's a long one because it's a long movie and then a long tribute.
Yes. How long?
Yes. Well, the movie's 2 hours something.
Well, that's not
we're
going to
be here till 12:15, so.
I'm thinking I'm going to wind up scrubbing whatever. I don't know. Back down. I was kind of wanting to go see Destroyer.
That's what we're going to go do.
I bet we can't. Yep.
Well, I have my car, so if you'd like to drive with us. Yeah.
Yeah, we just have to hustle from here to there because it's 45 minutes.
You drove to the gondola?
Yeah, because I wasn't going to make it, and then at the last minute, Lisa Tabak talked me into it, so I was like, well, the only way we're going to be able to do it is if we drive, so yeah. We didn't have enough time. So if you want to drive with us, there's just a little bit of dog hair in the car, but other than that...
Is that where
the
story is?
At least the dogs
are
there.
You kind of know where I'm sitting in the car, too. You can sort that's the...
Yes, exactly.
Just a little few hairs here and there.
I would be interested. And
think about it.
Did you bring a brush? Do we have a
dog hair brush?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I do. I don't. It's not a ton of. It's just my one dog.
It's fine, Sasha. It's fine.
Luna's a small white dog, and so one little.
White hairs on your black.
Yeah,
shirt.
That'll be great.
That's the problem. I could put this on the back, and you could sit on.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
I did what go once to the Napa Film Festival, and I was riding a lady around in my car, and I had washed my car, and I thought, oh, it's so clean, and she just was so worried about the dog hair. She was like, do I have any on my back? Can you? So, that's the price you pay for lovable little creatures.
Does it freak you out a little bit? I know Jess said it would have gone on, and you know I said it when I saw you. Does it freak you out a little bit that so many people know the dogs? Because it would freak me out a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, what freaks me out more is if people know the dogs and then thus deduce that they're meeting me. Like, it's Michael,
right,
my friend Michael, because it doesn't matter. Like, all they're going to think is that might be my boyfriend. Of course, he's gay,
jump to that conclusion.
But people might think, oh, she's not pathetically single.
Hey,
she actually might have a boyfriend.
Good-looking guy.
But he's not. He's my friend. But, yeah, the fact that they might go, oh, that's Sasha Stone. That's what I wouldn't like so much. Just because you know me, I'm weird and shy. So do people really ride down in those other little gondolas, ones that are just like little benches?
During ski season.
Where are those?
Those are the actual ski lifts, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. They do run some of the ski lifts as little connector feeders to us up in Mountain Village.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, over there, I see.
Yeah. They're just like little benches. You're hanging in the air. But, so I was going to skip this, but I looked and there's no other trip. This is the last one. So.
Yeah, I think I think I'm doing the Emma Stone tribute tonight, because if I don't do that, I don't think I'm going to get to see The Favourite this weekend.
The Favourite is tonight, too.
Yeah.
Have a nice day. It's interesting. They doubled The Favourite it's in two venues tonight. One's the tribute and one's just the movie standalone, and they've done the same thing in the morning with her second tribute and also a standalone. Yeah, that are scheduled opposite. So it's almost like they...
it's going to be so popular.
Get them...
many people are going to go.
Yeah.
Those Venice reviews of The Favourite took it down.
Really?
Yeah, but they were wrong about First Man, so I'm never trusting their reactions again. They said it was good, but nobody was as enthusiastic as the movie deserved. How about that Gary Hart?
He's a guy.
Everything was going so well.
And then not.
It didn't help that it came right after First Man, too. I think that.
No, it was.
Well,
yeah.
I thought it was actually a cleanser because it was a different type of film. First Man was much more daring and an indie handheld, very cool film. But this was delivering very exacting, very believable, persuasive. It reminded me of The Candidate. It reminded me of Truth a little bit.
It reminded me of Primary Colors.
That too.
A lot.
Yeah.
You know how you have people who believe in you all around you, and then suddenly they're like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
You lied to us, you know. But
one
thing I do like about the movies, it doesn't tell you how to feel. It doesn't decide for you what you should feel about the movie.
It's clearly telling you that the press are scumbags and they ruined
But it shows both sides. It does.
You know what the book is based? It's based
upon
a book. It
I'm
says
not saying
the
that.
Year the politics went
I'm not saying that,
tabloid.
That the press were right. I'm saying that it shows that the people around him and closest to him it doesn't get him off the hook. It doesn't say, oh, we should just, you know, it does show that he hurt people to him.
Yeah, he did.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they didn't let Gary Hart off the
hook.
He's
being cavalier. He thought that his inheritance as a Kennedy-like politician, in that he thought it was still the 70s, and he could get away with, you know.
Still the 70s.
Yeah.
But what's funny is that 1992, 4 years later, Bill Clinton won the presidency, and he was a known womanizer.
And, yes.
So, how do you figure that?
Well, there's a direct line from then to where we are now.
It's true.
Does it talk about that in the film at all?
No, it doesn't give a nod to that. But what I thought what I wrote in my review, which I don't know if it's true or not, but maybe by then the public was angry enough that they saw that happen to Gary Hart, that they were willing to aggressively push back and say, we don't care, we still want this guy. Maybe it's just charisma.
I think it just comes down to that.
Charisma is a lot of it, in my opinion.
I think so, too, with Trump, too. People forgive him a lot. No, I know it is. It's so gross. Like, the devil himself, practically.
Yeah,
and, but he's got so much charisma that people are willing to overlook.
See, I don't know.
Did you watch the Tyson takedown of Trump at the Aretha Franklin thing?
Oh, no.
It was really lovely.
Tyson.
Full of feeling and oratorical passion.
Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
He's a professor at Georgetown University.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was gonna say,
he's always on Bill Maher.
Having a hard time wrapping your head around the notion. Mike Tyson said something smart. Glowing rhetorical.
I am, but you know.
Wow. He must have really practiced a lot.
Sorry.
And I would like to have seen that.
I'm going to come out right now and say that I didn't think Gary Hart had it anyway. He didn't have the charisma. But he didn't have charisma, though. It's just something you have to have. Yes. You know, you either have it or you don't. And
not the way Clinton had it.
He didn't, that's true. He didn't.
Or Kennedy, I'm sorry to say it, it grosses me out, but Trump.
Well, see, I don't think Trump has charisma. I don't think that's what
this side of the gondola is going to, we're the anti-charisma Trump people. Maybe we're blind, I refuse to see it.
No, I think that
to see it.
Okay, so Obama had charisma, right?
Absolutely.
So what I think about Trump's charisma is that it appeals to the right so that the stuff he does, they forgive it the way that we
forgive. I think you're confused. Here's what I think. Well, not that I make care.
Please speak, yes. God.
I'm going to agree with him. I can already tell.
I don't really buy it as charisma. Buy it as he says crap that I wish I could say and now I can say. And people confuse that with charisma.
Yes.
Maybe I don't think it's the same thing at all.
Well, exactly. I will tell you that I watched some old video of him when he was young, and even my mom agreed that, like, yeah, there's charisma there.
When he was younger, maybe,
I don't think you can get elected. I think the only president that ever won, two, but ever won in the modern era were Nixon. And Bush Sr.
Oh, there you go.
They're the only two. Everybody else had charisma.
Yeah.
It's just something you got to have. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Nice talking to you.
And then it's the shuttle ride with Jeff Wells up the mountain to the patrons' brunch.
Movie mad young French boys had taken a banal American crime novel and translated the poetry that they had read between the lines. Since that is my aesthetic, that's right there. That's what I hope to do.
What does she mean, every critic is a propagandist?
Well, because Penelope Gilead accused her of being a propagandist, and her response was that every good critic is a propagandist. In other words, someone that you get to know the brand, you get to know who they are, become familiar with them because they have a voice. That's what means, that's what a good critic is.
Well, what he was saying yesterday about how there's nobody anymore, everybody's sold out to the studios.
That's what this film says at the end.
It does?
Yeah.
What does it say? Like, how? Who says
that? There's too many sources. The internet has drowned everything. There's no New Yorker. There's no anything. But there are a few people that have voices, and that many people are... here it is. The world is divided, she said, between the people who get deep pleasure from doing a good job and those who are just trying to get through the day. There are many critics who
just want to get through the day. They know that they're second rate. They're scared of their readers, scared of their editors, scared of the movie companies, and with some justification, but they're never good enough to conquer their fears. And the point would be really to try and strengthen your writing style and develop more courage, because then you're in a better position.
I don't know. So it sort of feels like everything ended.
Huh?
It sort of feels like it's all come to an end, all that.
You can't be cynical about that.
The end of film criticism.
You can't be cynical about that.
The end of film criticism and the ushering in of user reviews, of ratings, of, you know, aggregate kind of opinions, consensus, hive mind, not what an individual can say that can take you deeply into something and not necessarily destroy the movie, maybe destroy the movie, but also give you enlightenment and, you know, teach you things you could never have thought of on your own. And then when you rewatch the movie, you think about things all over again. Like, that experience is gone.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, you know?
Real Marcus described the impact of her stuff when it was really good. He says, even if you've seen the movie, it's like you haven't seen the movie, because you're seeing it for the first time as you're reading her review. Which is,
wow.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you think there's anyone that writes about film that has that kind of power now?
Anybody that writes about the way they really feel, as opposed to how they're supposed to feel according to the politically correct commentary, I respect them and I call them a real critic.
And finally, it's the last interview with Mark Johnson as the festival comes to a close on our last day. My name is Sasha Stone. I'm here with Mark Johnson from Award Circuit, and we're just about to say goodbye to Telluride. Because the last day has arrived, and Mark is taking the shuttle out in about 15 minutes, but we thought we'd get in a quick interview before we all left. So, hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
I'm tired,
ready
to go home.
I'm exhausted, too. It's a long, short weekend here in Telluride.
Yeah.
Not too long lengthwise, but you're just so busy running from film to film and writing that by the end of it, you're pretty much ready to go.
It's not long lengthwise, but it's thick.
It's got girth, okay?
No, sorry. This is how we joke with each other, just all of us around here. I thought it'd be fun to do what we were talking about at breakfast, which is your rankings of the movies that you saw here.
Cool.
You want to just start with what you saw, what you really liked, and how you ranked them and why?
Okay. Well, my number one is First Man. And it's not close. I would say there was a pretty big chasm between that and number two. I actually had a hard time deciding on number two because the next four for me were pretty even. One great film, four pretty good films. I think I'm gonna go with either. I still am up in the air. Roma or Can You Ever Forgive Me? Those are the two that I'm kind of torn at between number two and three. Yeah, so First Man was awesome, a very exciting film, and I think we talked about this earlier, I can't remember, but one of the things that kind of separates a movie like First Man from a movie like The Front Runner, in both movies you know historically what the outcome is, you know how Gary Hart's going to, presidential campaign kind of falls apart, and you know that Neil Armstrong lands on the moon. The difference between the good and great film is, with First Man, even though we know he's going to get there, you're still on the edge of your seat the whole time worrying about, you know, oh my God, are they going to make it? The sound, the acting, everything about it, every element, the score, that's, for me, by far the number one. Roma is a tougher watch, maybe. It's not going to be for everybody. It's beautifully shot and acted, and it comes to a very good close. Can You Ever Forgive Me? Was hilarious. I really loved Melissa McCarthy and Richard E. Grant.
Yeah.
I really liked their chemistry. That was kind of a common theme, I think, too, with a lot of the films, was chemistry between two leads. You had it with McCarthy and Grant. You had it with Redford and Spacek in The Old Man and the Gun, which, again, was that was a charming movie and enjoyed the performances. But, yeah, Can You Ever Forgive Me was hilarious. It was kind of the surprise, maybe, of the festival because I didn't have very high expectations of it coming in.
Yeah.
But really enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised. After that, probably the favorite, which will be very divisive, I think, but I really liked the naughtiness of it and how the backstabbing and whatnot. It kind of got repetitive toward the end, but it was I still enjoyed it overall.
Hmm.
Boy Erased would probably be my number five. That was maybe my favorite performance of the festival was Lucas Hedges in Boy Erased. I really thought he was awesome.
Great, yeah.
And then after that, there's kind of a big drop, and you have The Old Man with a Gun, The Front Runner, and Destroyer. What about you?
I think that's right. I mean, I know that my top is First Man. You know, I really just wish I could watch it again so that I could talk about it better because I feel so tongue-tied. We went to a party last night, the only party that we've attended since we were here, which was the First Man party at the Sheraton Hotel. And I was, like, going to back out, and I was like, you know what? You go, Mark. I don't want to go because I'm just so not a party person. And if you get a drink in me, I turn into a blithering, blathering idiot. And it's true. You saw it, so now you can't even deny it.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, you were just a fan of their film. And I thought it was awesome. Damien Chazelle said he was a fan of yours as well. So that was kind of,
yeah,
that was kind of neat.
It was pretty trippy. But yeah. But he's like, okay, so we'll just go in for one drink, all right? So we go in and then, you know.
Hour and a half later.
We finally just gave up and ate dinner there. Mark drank some wine. I drank bourbon, something. A really delicious bourbon drink. And that's when things got a...
We got to have a conversation with Justin Hurwitz, the composer.
Really long conversation
with
him.
Oh, my God. And just, you know, you talk to these guys and you just... They were very down-to-earth, very nice, but you could just feel the brilliance in the way that they just spoke about their craft. And
yeah.
Hurwitz, I wish we could have recorded the conversation that we had with him around how he put together the score and how he used the harp in certain scenes for space to make it sound celestial.
Yeah,
just really awesome.
They were cute because they're so new to this, but they're so successful at it. So they're having to have like a crash course in what it means to do like a PR tour. And like a lot of people like Laura Dern and Nicole Kidman, they've done them so many times that they know. But you could tell that like Justin Hurwitz and Damien Chazelle, they haven't been at this very long.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing his best, you know, talking. But both of them are just very wonky. They're very much about the work. They're not so much about the schmoozing. They, you know,
it was really neat to hear, too, their backstory about how they were friends in a music business kind of thing before they even got into film.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been together for a while, and it, you know, it sounds like the two are going to be paired together for a while, maybe like an upcoming John Williams, Steven Spielberg kind of collaboration.
Oh, can you imagine that?
Yeah. I mean, they're off to that kind of start. I mean,
you
have to say with Whiplash, La La Land, and now First Man.
Yeah.
I thought Josh Singer, too, was very pleasant to talk to. He's the screenwriter who won the Oscar for Spotlight. He also did the screenplay for First Man.
I know.
All of them are just so generous.
I was saying goodnight to Mark because Mark was going to stay and I was going to leave. And I walked by Jeff Wells and he was sitting there having dinner with somebody. And I said, hey, Jeff, see ya. And he goes, oh, do you know Josh? And I was like, Josh? And he goes, Josh Singer. I was like, Josh Singer? Do I know Josh Singer? No, I don't. But it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to talk to him. It's all a blur. But
yeah.
But, you know, there were a lot of parties here that we didn't go to, like the Fox Searchlight party. Nicole Kidman, not there, but she's just hanging around. Emma Stone was at that party. Melissa McCarthy. Anyway, so back to the rankings.
Yep.
So First Man is going to be a tough movie for me to see anything else this year that I like better. It's just one of those movies that just reaches so far and aims so high and hits its mark. And
Would you say you're over the moon about it?
I'm landing on the moon. The moon's surface is so powdery. But it's just a spectacular movie. And that was my problem talking to those guys because Mark stood there and talked to a one-on-one with Damien Chazelle for like 20 minutes,
yeah,
right?
That was awesome.
I don't know what you guys were talking about.
We talked a lot about La La Land because
yeah.
that's one of my favorites ever.
Yeah. And then he talked to me, and the only thing I remember about my conversation, other than being a complete idiot, especially to Justin, all I could tell them was how much I worshipped their work, and that's just such the worst way to approach a celebrity. I mean, they like it for like a minute.
No, he was very kind about it. He said he had been following your site for a while, and that he's an Oscar geek himself.
Which
that
is
was
insane.
It was really neat. He said in high school he did a bunch of Oscar pulls, just like I'm sure you did, and
it's
I
pretty
did.
Cute, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome. So you could tell the praise coming, I think, especially from you, was it meant a lot to him. He wasn't in any way like overwhelmed or annoyed by.
Yeah,
by
no,
the praise.
They're that's what I love about them is we're seeing them just at the beginning, and there's going to be a point in 10 years or so where they're going to be like some of the producers, not of this movie, but
yeah.
various producers I've talked to or bump into who just kind of sneer at you and barely talk. Now, I don't think Damien Chazelle
Hopefully
and Justin
not.
Hurwitz will ever be like that, but at some point they'll be seasoned and they'll be jaded, and this business will have gotten to them for a variety of reasons. Who knows what those will be, but it's just great to see them right now at the top of their game, so energized and ready to take risks. That's what I like about both of them, is that they're just not afraid, you know, to do what they want to do. So then that was a really fun party. But anyway, so First Man, and then it's really hard to go second because
yeah.
second has
it's
to be
hard.
Roma, because Roma should be at the top since it's such a huge accomplishment. Roma, filmed in black and white, about Alfonso Cuarón's childhood in Roma, in Mexico, and the kind of the nanny who took care of him and his own mother, and how the women sort of held the family together and went through all the pain while the men just kind of left them alone and did kind of damage to them. And it sneaks up on you. It's really slow going because it feels like you're just like a day in the life of
yeah,
this person
basically.
And this family, you know. But what he does with it that's so amazing is he references his own film as in to show, it's kind of like Fellini's Armacord in that way. Fellini shows you in that movie a lot of where he got his surreal influences, where they came from, where the women came from that influenced his work. And here you see what influenced Children of Men, what influenced Gravity, Y Tu Mama Tambien. Like, you see references to his work. And so that makes it also an exciting film to watch, and not just, you know, a day in the life of. But it has a powerful ending, just a boom,
yeah.
knock you right over. Obviously, that's number two. And then after that, it's like, Can You Ever Forgive Me is probably next. Probably the most, you know, funny and
probably regular audience-friendly film. Maybe.
Regular audience, yeah. Chris Tapley said he thought it would be an audience favorite here,
yeah.
and I think that's right. What are the other ones? Oh, yeah.
The Favorite, Old Man the
oh,
Gun,
yeah.
Destroyer.
The Favorite is probably last for me. And I told Mark why, and it's an embarrassing reason, but that's because when I saw The Lobster, he did all this animal cruelty, and I vowed I would never see another movie by him. And in The Favorite, he does it again. And it just, for me, it takes me out of the movie, and it just makes me wonder, why is he doing that, you know? But there's so much to like in it. Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz, it's really just dirty fun, you know,
yeah.
good, dirty fun. And we could use a lot of that. Everything
yeah.
plays it too safe, you know?
Yeah.
Destroyer is a really great badass Nicole Kidman performance.
The rest of the movie, however.
Yeah, it's like, that's a weird one. That
yeah.
movie's going to be, people either love it or they hate it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then The Old Man and the Gun is like a great nod to Robert Redford, but I don't know about it as a whole movie, you know? I feel like the wrong director was chosen for the material. I think it needed a director who's better with sort of breezy, you know, what do you call it? Funny kind of...
Yeah, lighthearted.
Caper
there.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Lowry's previous films were like A Ghost Story and Ain't Them Body Saints, which are very heavy, darker
yeah.
Films. So this was definitely different for him. But yeah, like you said, it's mostly a nod to the career of Robert Redford. And again, I think it depends what you are looking for when you go in. And if you're expecting a, you know, Oscar player, you're probably going to be disappointed. But if you are ready to just celebrate Robert Redford and enjoy the chemistry him and Spacek have on screen, then I think you may enjoy it.
Yeah. So you've been coming now how many years to the festival?
This is my fourth.
So what about this year was different, and what did you like and what didn't you like?
The different, I think just how accessible everyone was. Just getting to go to that party last night and talk to Damien Chazelle and Hurwitz and Singer and Nicole Kidman and Joel Edgerton, just a lot of accessibility to them. We saw Werner Herzog sat right behind us. He sat right behind us for Boy Erased and photobombed our selfie.
That was so funny. Yeah, it was awesome. And so we heard this voice behind us. Like, you can't, you know, you just know.
This movie I'm excited for.
And Nicole Kidman, gets close to the bears. I can't do his voice. Yeah. I have to master it. But you were so good at getting up close and just saying, can I have a picture with you? Even in the pouring rain with Jason Reitman.
Yeah, Jason Reitman was around too. Yeah,
so what do you say when you walk up to someone?
I just first let them, you know, I compliment either the film they had, if I liked it, or if not, like in Jason Reitman's case, I might say something about, you know, one of his previous films that means a lot to me, like Up in the Air, and congratulate them on the film and whatnot. And they're usually, I mean, they're always very cordial, and you know, I think they expect that you're going to ask them to take a picture, so they're always
generous.
Yeah, the only times there's only been a couple. I won't say names, but there's only been a couple. Faye Dunaway. Faye Dunaway did not want to
talk.
She's
all, no.
No, she was like, no. Oh no, I don't do that anymore. Aww. Oh, okay. All right. That was the first year, I think. She was there for Spotlight, I think, when we came, if I remember. But yeah, no, everybody's friendly. And I think that's part of this festival, at least, you know, from what I hear about other festivals. Telluride is just such a laid-back experience, and everybody's friendly and in a good mood. And it's hard not to be when you know, look around, you look out the window, and you see these giant, beautiful mountains. And so I think everybody's just in a good mood, and especially when their films are met well, then they're even more gracious with their time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I say it's been a pleasure hanging with you for 4 days. You're always fun to hang out with, and I just want to thank you for helping me to stay focused. Because I mean, you know me, I would forget my head if it wasn't screwed. So I just want to thank you for that. And I do think it's weird how every Telluride is different. Like,
yeah, it is.
If we're staying down by the Palm, we tend to do more stuff down there.
Yeah.
And since we were here at the Herzog, we tended to do all the stuff at the Herzog.
Well, we got lucky because most of the big showings were at the Herzog this year.
Yeah.
You know, the opening show, which is usually at the Chuck Jones, which is up the mountain and far away, this year instead it was at the Herzog, which was awesome. And luckily right after that, which was the Old Man and the Gun, was the patron screening. Right after that was First Man, and right after that was the Front Runner. And I think that's probably, you know, that should probably be said about the Front Runner is why it's so low on my list. I think a big part of that is it got lost in the, or left in the wake of First Man. It was right after that.
Oh, we saw it the same night.
Yeah, tough world premiere to follow immediately after First Man blows you away. So
yeah,
that's definitely the one of the eight that I need to revisit just to make sure I'm not way off on, but
I know, same. That's why I don't want to render any kind of judgment one way or the other in an extreme way, because I need to see it again. I need to watch the second half again, because I was so tired that, and also, like you said, my heart was with First Man, and so
totally.
It was really hard to, you know, I could give you a funny metaphor, but I won't, but for what that was like. But it was like after First Man, you really just wanted to go home and write your First Man review.
Absolutely.
You didn't want to sit there for 2 hours watching another movie.
That's
so
exactly it. I think there's some movies that are very easy to write about because you have so much to say and it moved you so much. And you know, when you're filled with that passion, I remember writing the Hugo review for Scorsese's film in 2011. And I ran home and typed for like an hour about it. I loved it so much. Those are the easy movies to write about. The tough ones are when you just, not even when you don't like it, it's when you just don't have any reaction at all, really. And that's such a chore to write about. You're like, what the hell do I say?
It's so hard, because even if you think the movie's good,
right,
if it doesn't like do something emotionally to you, it's hard to think of. I mean, you can summarize it. You can say, this is a good movie, you know, it's solid.
Yeah.
But it's hard to really write something that is going to matter, you know, in the sea of reviews that there are.
Right.
Oh, and so you got to do your critics. You got to send Eric.
I did.
Oh, you did already.
Yeah,
okay.
All they're looking for on IndieWire is your choice of favorite picture, director, and screenplay. And I went First Man across the board.
I think I will too, but I wonder if I had to do it differently, if I wasn't going to do screenplay.
Yeah, if you take First Man out of it, what would you pick for the three? If you just eliminated that film from this year, from this festival, what would you put for that?
Gosh, year? That's so hard.
See, I think at that point it becomes easy to put Cuarón at director. That's where I'd go there. I'd go screenplay. I would probably go for The Favorite.
And that's an interesting choice. I think I might go for Can You Ever Forgive Me, the screen. I thought it was so funny.
I think that's what I'd go for picture, which means I think I need to move Can You Ever Forgive Me to my number two.
No, not over Roma.
I think I might have to. So we were talking about this at breakfast, how my brain says Roma is number two because it's so well crafted and well done, but my heart, I enjoyed Can You Ever Forgive Me more. I can't lie about that.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's going to be my two, and Roma my three.
Yeah, and we were talking about if you were at home and you had like all these movies on streaming, which one would you? Well, we obviously would watch First Man. I mean, I'll probably see that
five times before I watch anything second.
But the only other one I'd really want to watch is Can You Ever Forgive Me again?
Yeah.
You know, I'd definitely enjoy that.
Definitely has rewatchability.
It absolutely does. It has quotability. Remembering the lines are so funny. Both of them are so funny.
And McCarthy, I know you think she's a strong contender, or what are your thoughts on her to win?
I'm gonna try to write before I leave here, if I have time, to write a column called Best Actress. It's the I said it to you and now I don't remember what it was, but it's it's the actress, it's the timing, and it's the role.
Yeah.
You know, so I think right now Best Actress is down to Lady Gaga versus Melissa McCarthy versus maybe Saoirse Ronan for Mary, Queen of Scots, which we haven't seen yet.
Right. And Glenn Close.
And Glenn Close is number four.
And depending on if they push Olivia Colman lead for The Favorite or Emma Stone lead for The Favorite, I think one of those two could get in.
Then there's Kidman for Destroyer.
Or, yeah, I guess so.
Or something that comes out of Toronto, which we don't know what that's going to be. But I don't,
something else we're forgetting. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about the nominees, but I think for winner, the reason that I said McCarthy, the reason that I have her as my number one choice to win right now is that even though it didn't really show in the Q&A, because she was kind of subdued, I thought, trying to sort of be more serious actress than funny, if she gets up at the mic and she's funny...
Yeah.
And she's just got this quality about her that you want to see her win.
Right.
And when people want to see someone win, that's a force to be reckoned with. Because you don't vote for people for any other reason except I want to give something to someone. And I want to feel good about that.
Yeah.
And I want to feel good every time they walk up to the mic. And she's going to be funny and gracious and overwhelmed. And people feel like they've done something. So will Lady Gaga for that.
Yeah. I can definitely see McCarthy shaking hands and kissing babies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, doing that whole...
And being so funny,
yeah.
You know, all the
yeah,
while.
Yeah, absolutely. Because she was, when they introed the film, she was pretty funny. Her and Grant were both very funny in the intro. And then, yeah, you're right, the Q&A was a little more subdued. But she's going to be able to work a room. You know, and Emma Stone is another one. We watched her
tribute.
And she was amazingly funny and brilliant and open. It was really great.
It's okay, come on. When I first saw La La Land, I called her for best act. I have a really good knack for calling best actress out of Telluride, and I knew she would win. And people criticize that choice, believe it or not, but I knew she would win.
Yeah,
it was obvious because of the combination of things. It's not just the acting. My dogs just came in. That's not me panting. Although Mark is sitting in front of me, so I could be. That could be me, but it's not. I'm just kidding. I should take that out. Sounds like cougarish. I don't mean it that way. I'm just making a joke.
Yeah, it's funny.
But it's not just the acting, best actress. It is how much they like you.
Yeah.
It's how well you can charm the crowd when you're... Because this publicity thing goes on forever.
Right.
And you always have to look like you're happy to be there. You always have to be smiling. You always have to be on. And that's hard for a lot of people to do. A lot of people just don't even want to do that. They think, oh, it should just be about the work. But winning an Oscar is never about the work. Just the work.
Yeah, very rarely.
For actors, anyway.
There's like the Moniques out there that occasionally buck that system. But it's mostly about, you know, the performance and then reminding them of the performance by being there and being present, being likable. Yeah.
There are a few of them, like you say, that can just... Their campaign is not having a campaign.
Yeah.
But
it's rare, though.
But it's tiring to do that.
Yeah.
And I just think that people will be exhausted and depressed, and Melissa McCarthy will make them feel good. And I think she's... But then again, we have to see Lady Gaga in Star Is Born.
For sure.
So.
I still have her one until I see it. But McCarthy, I moved to my number two.
Yeah. I mean, if Lady Gaga's performance is what I've heard...
Yeah.
then that's going to be really hard to deny too.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
for sure.
All right, man. Thank you.
Yeah,
Thanks for
the
interview. It's been lovely.
Yes.
And have a safe. And remember, planes don't crash.
No, never.
Cars do. They don't crash. Don't worry. And I understand how you feel, but they don't crash. So.
No, I'm sure we'll be fine.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.